You can either work in the business or you can work on the business.
They have the knowledge and the skill to be successful.
Yesterday is gone and tomorrow has yet to come.
Dive all in on the next chapter of your life.
Hey, everybody. This is Greg Alexander, the host of the ProServe podcast, brought to you by Collective 54, the first community for founders of boutique professional services firms. And on this episode, we're going to talk about how a consulting firm who's been around a long time using the traditional time and materials billing method has recently switched to a fixed bid approach. And this firm is in the middle of this transition, which is what makes this case study so unique, because there's lots of early findings and learnings and lots of motivations. And we're going to jump into all of that. And I hope at the end of this, you're all inspired by this story and you consider making a similar journey. And then for the members that are listening to this, of course, you can attend the Q&A session with Alan and we'll get into much greater detail. But with that, let me bring in our guest. Alan, it's good to see you. Would you please introduce yourself and your firm to the audience?
Sure. So Alan Wine, CEO of Inovia Consulting. We've been around about 40 plus years. We do ERP implementations in a very specific part of the market from a Microsoft product standpoint. We do Business Central, and it's small to medium-sized business, even though we've scaled it quite large for some companies. You know, most of our stuff is T&M at this point, time and materials. And, you know, it's we've had a good journey, but it's the market's changing, everything's changing around us, and we know we've got to get to fixed fee to really get our profits growing the way we would like them to grow.
So let's dive onto that. It's unusual for me to talk to a firm that's been around for 40 years and has had all the success that you've had, be willing to make this change, because let's face it, what you've been doing before worked. So what was the motivation to go from time and materials to fixed fee?
You know, it was really a couple of things. The first was we were looking for a new competitive advantage. You know, because it is I wouldn't say it's a commodity market, but it knocks on that door quite a bit when you're doing implementations and re-implementations. And Microsoft on this particular product moved from an on-prem version. So it was NAV or Navision, and they changed the name and they went to a fully SaaS version. You can still put it on-prem, but really they want everybody up in software as a service, up in the cloud. And that also meant that the revenue I generated about every 5 years for upgrades, which was significant, or the product sales I was making when we were selling it on-prem, is completely going away because the upgrades now happen every 6 months automatically. And our service numbers, while still growing, it's just a market that's going to go away in 10 years. So how do I, and we sold it as time and materials. So how do I get into a market that I'm already in, ironically, and become the competitive advantage? And it is, most of my competition does T&M. We wanted to say, look, we'll do fixed fee. And the one final point I'll say is, while there are fixed fee companies out there for our product that we sell with Microsoft, they do small fixed fees, $7,500, $100,000. We do a lot of those small companies, but we do an awful lot of large ones, meaning $250, $500, $1 million implementations of software. Nobody wants to touch that with a 10-foot pole because they don't have the processes and the discipline to do it. We think that's a huge competitive advantage. So hence the change to stay up with the market.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. So the on-prem to SaaS movement within the Microsoft ecosystem was the stimulant. You are competing in a mature market with the fixed fee model as a way to separate, because, and for those that are listening that might not be familiar with this, when somebody like Alan goes to fixed fee, the client is shifting the risk from themselves to the implementer. And that's what's in it for the client. Now, what's in it for Alan is, if you really know what you're doing, you can control the risk, and this can turn out to be very profitable. And maybe you win some business that you wouldn't have won otherwise because you're willing to do this and your competitors are not. So that's kind of the context behind this. So, Alan, when you were thinking about it, What I loved about your story, and thank you for sending me this great note, is you've taken a very methodical approach to it. You didn't just flip the switch and say, okay, everything's going to fixed fee. You're kind of doing it in phases. So tell us what your migration path looks like.
So it's a two-year migration path for us. Prior to this year, we had already had some fixed fee engagements. So we had what are called planning engagements, which we go in beforehand, look at the customer and go, okay, now we can quote this properly because we understand your business. And those were fixed fee engagements. And we had a few other offerings that were fixed fee. We also, though, a year, 2 years ago, we had spent 10 years selling block hours, so blocks of hours. So I'm getting all this money up front, but then I'm using it, right? We're using it through the system. And we got away from that, and we got much more to what I billed, I got collected in the next week or two. And so my cash flow had already changed, and we had gotten a consistent cash flow and not these big chunks. That's important in fixed fee because you're going to be billing monthly or however you're going to do it. In our case, we've decided we're going to go monthly bills with a calculus for it. But, you know, we also said, all right, we're going to practice with our existing fixed fee engagements, get better at change orders, which are absolutely vital to making this successful, get better at changing the way we bonus our team, because today we bonus our team on how many billable hours did you generate. Well, when I go to fixed fee, my goal is to generate as few billable hours as I can with the same amount of ultimate money that I'm going to charge the customer. And it's contradictory. Today it isn't. Tomorrow it will be if I don't change that. So we're changing how we bonus these existing fixed fees, and they're small, so I can't get hurt by them right now. If I screw one up, it's okay. It's not that big of a bite, and I can handle it. If I screw up $1 million fixed fee, it's slightly different. So I want to be good before I get there. And then finally, you know, we're spending time reevaluating our processes and procedures, not only in our delivery and operations, but in our sales department. How do we go to market with this? How do we get competitive with it? How do we bonus our salespeople? Because again, it was based on what did you sell and how many hours and what was the rate? Because I wanted them bonused on how good my rate per hour was. And so there's several pieces of this that we're trying to say, look, you know, I made this statement to my team in November last year. In 2 years, I want to be 80% fixed fee all across the board. I'd like it faster and more, but I figured 2 years was a good runway. 80% was an acceptable number to get us started on what effectively is a 5-year journey to get completely over to it.
Yeah. You know, a couple of things you mentioned there I want to call on because it's a real case study, and these two particular issues, changing the measurement system from number of billable hours and then changing the sales incentive system, to incent selling fixed fees versus a traditional way. Culturally, especially for a 40-year-old company, these are massive changes. I mean, mm-hmm. These are not incremental moves. So how did let's start with the delivery staff first, you know, the folks that are doing the work for the client, how did they receive it?
They're receiving it. Okay. We're still working through it completely. You know, yeah. Same with sales. I mean, we're in the first 20 to 25% of this journey, but yeah. You know, it's discussion, and we've actually brought certain people in from each department and go, look, guys, this is coming. The company knows we're going to fixed fee across the board. I've announced it. We talk about it every month at our staff meeting. Certain people we've started bringing in and going, how do we structure this bonus program for delivery? It's, I need it done faster, better, cleaner, and then I'm going to incentivize you on the profitability of the project. So this team, and we work in teams, so we're structured okay to be able to do this. With sales, it's the same way. How did you sell it? What price did you put on it? And then I'm going to back into what was it? How many hours do I think that's going to take? And what was my real net realized rate? So our internals are focused on still billable hours, even though we're not billing per hour. So utilization and profitability and rate to the customer, we just look at them and go, look, it's going to be $135,000. And when they go today, we get a little bit. Well, wait a minute. What's my rate? Why do you care? Yeah. There's no rate here. This is what it costs, dude. Are you happy? And we actually had a successful one with that that wasn't one of our pre-offerings. And I actually got $15 more an hour rate and probably 100 extra hours than what it would really take, because the customer was perfectly happy with the final fixed fee number I gave him.
Yeah.
So that's profitability.
Yeah. I mean, the customers love it, because what they don't want to do is get surprised, right? So the comfort level of a fixed fee is they don't have a runaway project on their hands, you know, and their budget gets blown to heck, and they, you know, sometimes they got egg in their face, God forbid they lose their job. So the customers love it. I find that the sales guys sometimes don't like it, because it creates yet another thing they have to deal with the customer. For like the example that you just mentioned, you know, the customer wants to get granular, particularly procurement departments, and say, yeah, but what's your rate? So how did you train the sales team around this new selling motion, and how to address the new objections that certainly came up?
You know, I mean, the beauty of having sold some fixed fee projects or planning engagements and other things, having those people already sell that, they've kind of run into those objections, and they've learned what to say and what not to say. And so we sell based on, look, the quality of our work speaks for itself. You're going to get this, you know, here's what you're going to end up with. Here's the documentation a planning engagement is going to give you. We're just translating that into, when you at go live, you're going to have a fully functional system. Here's all the things it's going to do. Here's the statement of work, and here's the work plan, guys. Here's all the tasks that are going to happen. And, you know, tell me that somebody else in my industry is going to walk up and say, yeah, for $500,000, we guarantee that. They don't exist. So we're slowly learning and playing training on how to get that going, and just, you know, getting our nose bloodied every once in a while, but basically practice. It's practice, practice, practice. It's really what it is.
Okay. Well, we try to keep these podcasts short to 15 minutes, and then we'll do a deep dive on this in the member call. So I got one more question for you. What has surprised you? So you're in the first 25% of rolling this out. You know, this is a multi-year journey. You know, what happened that you didn't anticipate, if anything?
I didn't anticipate the acceptance of the company quite so fast, where everybody was just like, yeah, okay, good, let's go. And it was just, I thought I'd have to bring some people kicking and screaming, you know, and in reality, from leadership down, everybody is just, this sounds like a great idea. And I think it's because we pitched it as, look, the market's changing. We've all seen it. We change the way we modify the software. We got to have a 10-year journey here, guys, that protects us and grows it. And ultimately business's primary focus is profitability, so I can bonus and pay you guys better. Can we all be together? And so that's been the real pleasant surprise. The ugly surprises are still coming.
Well, hopefully they're not too ugly. You know, and it's a really good point. I mean, what you did there, which was a huge compliment to you, is you showed that by making this move, the firm's going to become more profitable. And when the firm becomes more profitable, there's better paying jobs for everybody. So we're all aligned in doing that. All right. Well, Alan, I appreciate you sharing your story of moving from time and materials to fixed fee here after a 40-year successful run. I'm really looking forward to the member Q&A session. So on behalf of the members, appreciate you being here.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Couple calls to action for those that are listening. If you're not a member and you want to be one and learn from people like Alan, go to collective54.com, fill out an application, and someone will get in contact with you. If you want to just consume some more information, I would point you to my book. It's called The Boutique, How to Start, Scale, and Sell a Professional Services Firm. You can find that on Amazon. But until that, and until next time, I wish you much success as you try to grow, scale, and maybe someday exit your firm.